welcome to the Conversations with Authors podcast with me, Alison Thompson, aka The Proof Fairy. This podcast is an excuse for me to have a chat with a published author about what inspires them to write, how they go about the writing and publishing process, and what effect it's had on their life. And I also find out what tips they can pass on for other aspiring authors. My guest on the show today is Susan J. Walklade. Susan home-educated her son Simon, and she writes about their experience and the experiences of four other home-educating families in her book Radical Home Education. I met Susan through a friend of mine, author Ellen Watts, who has also been on the podcast, and I helped Susan get her book published, so it was really lovely to catch up with her and find out what's happened since the book came out. Susan, it's really lovely to see you again. Thank you for being a guest on the podcast today.
Well, hi, Alison, and thank you for letting me join you today. It's really great to have this opportunity.
It's my pleasure. So tell me a bit about your book.
My book is called Radical Home Education, and it's about our journey through home education to adulthood. It was I home educated my son. And in the book, I've included four other families who we met through home education and we are still friends with now, nearly 19 years later. The reason I decided to write the book was because home education gets such negative press, negative press. And 2 years ago, early 2019, there was a program on Channel 4 and there was the education minister on this, and they were talking about the lost children or the invisible children. And she was being really negative about children learning at home or being at home, not attending school. Oh. And my son, Simon, and I, we sit on the settee and we grind our teeth because it's so annoying. And so I thought, I need to tell the story of where these children, now adults, are now. Mm. Because they are all successfully doing something with their life. I mean, Simon is successfully running his own gardening business. Others have gone on to university. One lad is doing his doctorate. Wow. And, you know, they are successful and they are proactive people. And I think that's the thing that comes from being home educated. They have the freedom to choose what they want to do.
Right. Yeah. That's a really lovely inspiration for writing the book then, that you saw an injustice that was being done and you wanted to put it right, put your side of the story across. And kind of open people's eyes to a world that they maybe don't know so much about.
Exactly. And certainly over the last 12 months, there's been a lot more about children learning at home. Even though a lot of parents say that they are home educating, actually these children that are still registered in school are doing what I call school at home. Which is very different to what we did as home education.
Okay. And I guess people will need to read your book to find out what the difference is, will they? Go and buy the book.
Yes.
So how did you go about writing it?
I had a lot of the stories in my head anyway from having home educated and having promoted home education. It's something that I like to talk. And so you start talking to somebody and go, oh, well, my son was home educated. And then you just go into all the stories of what happened, where we did it, what we did, how we did it. And I can bend somebody's ear for a very long time about it. So a lot of stories of my journey, our journey, mine and my son's, were already things that I had talked to people about, I'd said numerous times. So almost the words were already there. The story was already in my head writing. So I literally got a booklet and wrote down all these, albeit short snippets of this story, that story. And what you did for me was actually make me open it out a little bit more and extend it a little bit, as did Ellen, because I'm very sort of precise, you know, we did this, we did that, we did the other, and it needed a little bit more padding out to make it a little bit better.
You mentioned Ellen there. I've actually done a podcast interview with Ellen, so anyone who's listened to that will know a little bit about how she's working with authors to help them share their stories. So how did you come to meet Ellen, and how did you work with Ellen on the book?
Well, that's two separate questions, really. I actually met Ellen 20 years ago when she bought her pony, or her horse, and she came on my evening class because I was teaching understanding horses. And we just became friends at that stage, and then we've just shared stuff over the years. I've been on some of her courses and so on. And so when it came up about her setting up her publishing company, Butterfly House Publishing, it just seemed a right thing to do. So I had a chat with her about it, and I was her first author, and so it was an interesting journey. And I think it was an interesting journey for her at that stage, because I'm not the easiest person to work with, I think.
I think it's right though. You can have a bunch of stories. Everybody will have a bunch of stories about some aspect of their life, but that's not a book in itself, is it? It's kind of weaving the stories together and finding a way to make the story flow, and also putting stuff in that other people are going to benefit from as well. That's kind of where a bunch of stories turns into a book.
My first draft was very bitty. And in fact, somebody who beta read it for me said it sounded like a series of blogs.
Right.
Which actually made me go, this isn't a story. Like you say, it needs to flow a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I also interviewed the other four families that I included in the book. So I've got information on the parents, and I already knew them, obviously. So I was there when they were doing their home education journey as well, which did help. And then I was able to put their story in. And it was lovely talking to the now adult children about how they felt about being home educated, their story about their experience of home education. And actually, each of the five families, including us, did it differently, had a different take on it. But the one thing that they all expressed was what they enjoyed was the freedom to choose what they did and when they did it.
So you said that you had all the stories and you put them together, and you got some help from me and from Ellen in structuring that as a book. How did you go about publishing it?
Yeah, Ellen was very supportive. She helped me through the process. We went to a bookshop one day and had a cup of coffee and looked at different book structures, textures of the books, sizes of the books, and things like that, which was quite an interesting, you know, I all those sort of things I'd never thought about. I tended to look at Ellen's book, the one that I've got, as a guide of maybe the formatting of it and the structure of the what goes on inside, because when you read a book, you just read a book. You don't really think about everything else that goes into it beforehand. So getting it published in the first instance, worked with Ellen to get the book written. And then she sourced you, and you then proofread it. Oh, no, sorry. There was beta readers in betweenhand who gave me some feedback. And then it got sent to you in the revised form. And you then put it into a usable structure, and you did everything from there on. You put it onto Amazon, and you formatted it for Kindle, and you set up my account with Amazon with regard to it. So I literally go back to that email now and click the button that you sent me to get into it. So it's all there.
But through Amazon, though, I mean, Amazon's such an easy platform to self-publish on that it's,
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they do buy on demand. Is that the right word? That's not the right phrase.
Yeah, print on demand. Print on demand. Yeah.
So literally, I can go in there, order 10 books or one book at author's rate, and then it's easy. It's so easy. It's not like, I believe, historically, if you were published through a publishing house, you had to purchase, or you had to have a large block of books, which then had to try and sell or find an outlet for. Whereas with Amazon, I just send them the link, send it to Amazon. They go to Amazon and buy the book and hopefully write me a lovely report. I've got 5 stars on there, and I've got some lovely written testimonials, which is great.
That's really good. Reviews are so important, I think, yeah, because even bad reviews, actually, I think Amazon sees reviews as the fact that people have bought a book and have thought enough about it to write something about it, even if that's something negative, actually. You know, it's if you feel strongly enough about something, then other people are going to feel strongly enough about it the other way. So having reviews is really, really important, I think.
Yes, yes.
As something else you said earlier, I just wanted to pick up on, you said that Ellen took you to a bookshop and you actually looked at different book sizes and formats. That's really interesting, because quite often when I'm formatting books, I say to people, you know, what size do you want the book to be? Oh, I don't know, just the normal size. And actually books come in so many different shapes and sizes, don't they? There are a few standard sizes, but there are sort of larger or smaller just by a couple of inches. And it has a really different feel, doesn't it? A smaller, chunkier fiction book to a kind of slightly larger non-fiction book. They have really different feels about them. That interested me that you did that.
Yes, that was quite. But having said that, when you said to me, what size do you want? I went, I don't know. I needed to measure the books or Ellen's book or whatever and say, oh, actually, that is this size sort of thing.
Yeah.
It was quite.
Yeah, that's exactly what I say to people when they say, oh, I don't know. I say, well, go away, look at your bookshelf, pick out a few books, find one that you like the look and feel of and that you think will work well for your book, and then measure the front cover and tell me, and then we'll do it to that size. So, yeah, makes such a difference. So what have you learned? This was your first book. What have you learned about yourself through the writing process?
The first draft of the book was quite cathartic. I was, because Simon had some really negative experiences at school and with a certain teacher, and also with the SENCO, special educational needs coordinators, and that type of thing. I dumped all of that into that first draft, and Ellen was sort of, it's quite negative, you know, it's quite which it was, and Ellen was sort of, you can't really name and shame sort of thing. But she did do that. And I was sort of, so actually, having dumped all my angst into the book, my first draft, and then completely reorganized it, restructured it, rewrote it, took out all the names and the shaming and the negativity, and then it felt better. And ironically, actually, I went and read the whole book from cover to cover a couple of weeks ago, just because I'm doing something else with it. And I mean, even though it's stories that I put in there, I go, oh, that sounds good.
I've done that sometimes. I used to write some blog posts for a technology company. And one day I was researching something to write a new blog post about them. And I started reading this post and thinking, oh, this is quite interesting. This has got some useful stuff in it. And then I realised it was a post I'd written for this technology. That's really good when you can look back on your writing and think, Joe, I did a good job here. That's a really nice thing.
Yeah, I was quite impressed with what I'd written. And because I'm now moving on from that, this year, I've started writing a digital online course based on my book. Mm-hmm. And because what we've had over the last 12 months is we've seen or we've heard of families who are feeling really rather stressed about having the children at home, having to school at home, because it's not home educate. And I just wanted to help those families to actually appreciate how it could be better, how it could be done better, how that relationship with their children could be improved with regard to learning and education. And so that's really what prompted me to start looking at doing an online course.
Right, yeah.
Because my book originally was aimed at new or would-be home educators. And that still is the market. But I've now into that, the families that now find themselves doing school at home. And they're a different group because they didn't choose to do this. Whereas home educators, we chose that course of of action. Is that the right word?
Have you noticed that there've been, are there people now who having had to be at home educating their children are now thinking that that's actually what they'd like to do? Are there families who are kind of switching to homeschooling, home education, schooling at home as a result of having to do it because of the pandemic?
There has been on Facebook, on some of the home ed pages, groups, where families have now said, we've enjoyed it so much, or the children are so better, you know, we've decided to continue home educating. And in fact, there has been some concern, you know, with the powers that be, that there's a lot of children that have not gone back to school for whatever reason. I mean, personally, I wouldn't send my children back to school if they were school, because I still don't think it's safe out there. You know, you see these children going into school with a face mask on. Somebody on another Zoom call, she said, oh, we've had a bit of an upset today because all the children got sent home from school because one child had been tested positive for COVID. Why would you risk your child in that environment? That's my personal view.
Yeah. So it's maybe a very disruptive time for education still anyway. And yeah, that's maybe why people are thinking, do it from home, because you can have a more settled way of doing it. Yeah. If the children have taken well to it. Yeah. Anyway, back to the book. So you said that you're working on a course for parents who are thinking of becoming home educators. What else has happened as a result of you publishing the book?
Last year, before the pandemic hit, I had been invited to spend a day in Swindon Library, the local town, and the library was promoting local authors. And over a number of Saturdays, they were inviting different authors in with their book to actually talk to the general public. I know Ellen was going in the week before me, and then another friend of mine was actually going to be in on the day that I was there, or supposed to be there. But sadly, that just didn't happen because of pandemic, lockdown, libraries shut. Hopefully that will be picked up another day. We can move forward with that another day. A thing that I have done more recently, actually this year, is I've gone on to a Facebook group about inspiring speakers, basically. And once a month they do a slot. You can have half an hour slot and just talk live on Facebook, which was quite an interesting exercise. I've done it three times now, but the first one was a bit eek. And then what I talked about was home education. The first one was about addressing adversity, which is what we did through home education. The second one, the topic, they changed the topic, and it was about women's stuff. And so I had to change what I was going to talk about. And then the third one I talked about was, again, going back to the frequently asked questions about home education. I'm in the process of writing an ebook which addresses those things, the frequently asked questions, because they're still the same questions that we were asked nearly 20 years ago. People are still asking those questions, or new people are asking those questions. So they're always going to be those questions, the same questions, like, is it legal? I mean, that's the first one. Is it legal? How do they socialise, etc.? So that's the ebook that I'm in the process of writing, which will be a freebie for people to actually get to know who I am, what I'm doing, and draw them into maybe buying the book or coming on my course.
So it sounds like the Facebook group is a really good way of raising your profile as the author of the book and also as an expert in home education, to then move people on to finding out more. Yeah.
Exactly. And I did last year, I joined up with a number of home education Facebook groups or pages, and people would put up a question, I'm worried about my child because of blah, blah, blah. And then I would be able to go in and say, if I felt drawn to that question, this is what I did with Simon, this is why I did it with Simon. And also a lot of people that are just literally going out on their journey like hearing, and now he is successfully running his own business. And that is the one, you know, I get a lot of response from that. Go, wow, that is brilliant. Great to hear it. Mm. And I think really what I wanted to do with the book, I also promote the book when I do that as well. And I've also got a Facebook page of the same name. So it's Radical Home Education. If somebody else has written an article about home education, I will share it onto my page. I read blogs by another home educator who'd written some books, and she wrote a lovely piece about my book in the beginning on her blog. So whenever she puts up a blog, and they are really interesting about home education, about education, I share them onto my Facebook page.
So the book has proved a really good platform for kind of positioning you as a bit of an expert in home educating, rather than just a home educator. but also in helping you to help other families by sharing your experience and your outcome as well. Sounds like it's been a really useful thing to share with other families.
Yes, I think that does help. And in the beginning, like you said, I home educated my own son, and we did it our way. There are many different ways of doing it. However, I have, having spoken with the other four families and written the book, and you start beginning to recognize how to do it, what to do, even down to sort of what my course is about, which is understanding the child's preferred learning style, which is in my book, chapter 9, and also their personality profiles. Because something I learned with working with Simon, or even living with Simon, we are very different personalities, and we have very different learning styles. So actually, but I've done that for years, because I used to teach riding. And so I'd realized years ago that even though I'm an activist, other people learn in different ways. Mm-hmm. And this is something I had to adapt to with Simon, because his learning style was very different from mine. And that's really what I want to give. That's the essence of what I want to help parents recognize. I also think that will help them with their parenting skills, because if you start understanding where your child is coming from, how they think, who they are, you then have a better idea of how to deal with them when there might be some problems.
Yeah, I think that's useful for all parents, actually, isn't it? Not just parents who are home educating. I learn through reading. My son's never he's picked up one book in his life and he didn't get very far with it. You know, my son, he's very good at reading, but he doesn't read, and he wouldn't learn through reading. So if I was trying to say, well, look, you know, read this, this will tell you how to do it, that's not going to work for him. And that realization that we're all different and we all have different ways of doing things, I think is a really important one for parents to have.
Simon was diagnosed with dyslexia when he went to college at 16, and I thought that there was learning challenges, and he didn't read in the same way, and there was, I can remember one particular occasion, he read out loud a page of a book perfectly, and then he looked at me and went, I have no idea what I've just read. So and he now listens while he's gardening. He has Audible books, and he listens to the Audible. So while he's gardening, he's listening to stories. However, he's realized that when he stops gardening and as I sit down for 5 minutes break, he doesn't access the information that's coming in through his ears at all. It just, so he needs to be moving to be able to connect to the audible, which is really quite interesting. So if you go back to school, sit still, stop fidgeting, stop doodling, and then he switches off, stops listening. He's not able to listen.
He needs that physical activity for his brain to do what it needs to do to listen and take in information. Whereas other people just need to be focused on reading something and nothing else, no noise. Other people can only learn by watching someone do it or by doing it themselves, can't they? So, just that appreciation that we take in information in different ways, I think is really important for us all, not just for parents, for us all as human beings.
Exactly. And yes, you're right. It is for any parent who wants to be able to connect with their children better or in a different way. It's not suggesting that they're being bad parents or that they aren't able to connect with their children, but this just gives them that little edge, that little extra tool to be able to have that better relationship with their children.
Mm-hmm. So you wrote your book because you wanted to share your story to help other parents. If there's other people who've been through, you know, similar challenges in life or maybe slightly different ways of doing things in life, what tips would you give them about sharing their story through a book?
Have a clear vision of what that story is for and what it's about. If it's like my book, it was to tell the story of those now adult home educated children. And so there was a vision, there was a purpose, there was a end group that I was aiming it at. Anyone can read it, but there is, it is there for new or would be home educators. And as I said earlier, also the home at school families that are struggling. So, and also just write it, just put down, I wrote down all the little stories. And then what I did is I typed them onto my computer and I put each of the little stories in a different colour. So that I then would go, right, I've used that bit and that bit goes into that part of the book. And there are some bits, and even when I reread the book a few weeks ago, and I went, oh, I didn't say about that at this point. And then when I got to another point in the book, it was there. So it's actually putting it in the right place as well. But literally, I just dumped everything onto paper, all the little stories, and then it would go, oh, and I got to talk about this, and I'd write that little bit. And so it was then putting it into some semblance of order, making some sense of it so that it flowed better.
That's really useful, actually, that you don't actually have to start with chapter one and work your way through to chapter 10. Just get anything down. If it's just odd thoughts, odd stories, odd sentences, just get those down, because then you've got all the time in the world to rearrange them, to make sure that they fit together. But just put something down. That's a really good tip. Yeah.
I must confess, it really makes you appreciate what somebody like Charles Dickens did. You know, typing it for the... You can imagine sort of making one mistake and then having to start again. That, you know, at least we've got a computer where we can go, oh, no, I don't want that bit, and that can move down to there. And you can just sort of... But Charles Dickens would have started at chapter one, and I assume, unless he made loads of copious notes. Wow.
I don't know. I've never thought about how Charles Dickens wrote his books. But no, you're right. The fact that we do things on computers means that, you can just rearrange everything. You can edit things. You can delete bits and add them in. And it just makes it so much easier, doesn't it, to knock it into shape. But so I think that's really useful advice. So just start writing whatever it is you start with. But also know who you're writing for and know what you want your book to do, what you want your book to achieve.
Yes.
So you've said already that you're putting together the course for home educating parents, and you're writing an ebook on frequently asked questions. What else is next for you? What else have you got coming up over the next few months?
I've been trying to get my website organised, but that's sort of, yes. On my flip chart over there, everyone's got flip charts in their living room, haven't they? On my flip chart over
there. Of course.
I've got 6 mind maps of my website, and I did them back in October. So there's like the landing page and then the other 5. So one of them, my website is called Radical Life. And so it's about my life, because I feel that I just sort of step outside of society a little bit. Certainly when I decided to home educate Simon, you really feel like you stepped outside of the norm and you know, you start looking at things differently. But I've always been like that. So on my flip chart over there, beside the radical home education, I've got the radical animal care, because I've always looked on animals as living their own natural life. I've got the radical health and well-being, because I've always used alternative or complementary therapies. I don't use conventional medicines at all. So again, I've got a different view on things like that. I love using herbs. I've joined a Facebook group about hedge witchery, it's called, and they on there, they got picture, somebody will post a picture of, I've just found this plant, can anyone tell me about it? And then somebody will say, oh, it's blah blah blah, and you can eat it. And so over the last 12 months, even though I do look at the plants, I look at them and I go, oh, isn't that nice, isn't that interesting, now I'm looking at it going, what is it, what can I do with it? And I literally last year, for the first time, even though I've been thinking for years that I would do something with elderberries or elderflowers, I actually did it last year. I made some elderflower cordial. And this year I've made some dandelion honey again, which has come up. And you just, the laborious bit is picking all the petals off. But it's delicious. And it's not honey, it's sugar, to be fair.
Okay.
But yeah. It is. It does taste like honey. It's amazing. So I've got this whole radical theme going on, if that makes sense. I'm sure there's other. There's 5 elements of my radical life. And so I want to write a course and a book for each of those aspects. So that's going to keep me busy for quite a long time, I think.
Wow, yeah, that is going to keep you busy for a while. A course and a book for each aspect of radical living. That sounds fantastic. Where can people find you online? Is the website already online in some form, or where will they be able to find you online?
The website at the moment, all it's got is a landing page with a picture of me, and that's about it. And that's my biggest issue, is actually I haven't got on and started writing the website. And I'm sure once I get going, I think I'm of the generation that are a little bit tentative about using this modern technology, which is quite silly really, because I have written websites before, but that was using other, and they're so much more technical these days.
So what will the address of the website be?
So www.radicallife.co.uk. So radical life is one word, 2 L's in the middle.
Radicallife.co.uk. I have the same with my website, theprooffairy.com. It's that double in the middle is confusing.
There we go. Okay.
Susan, go on.
My Facebook page is Radical Home Education. So it's at radical.home.education, and you can find me there. So come and have a chat, or come and, or buy my book on Amazon.
That's brilliant. I wish you so much luck with the Radical Life, the Radical Life movement. It sounds like it's going to be more than a website. It's going to be a whole Radical Life movement.
We're going to write that word down.
Radical Life movement. Thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast today. It's been really lovely to catch up with you.
Thank you. And I've really enjoyed it. and good luck with whatever you're doing. Well, all your work.
Thank you to Susan for being my guest on the show today. Her book, Radical Home Education, Discovering Home Education Through the Accounts of Five Families, is available on Amazon, and you can also follow Susan on Facebook. Just search for Radical Home Education, or keep an eye on her website, radicallife.co.uk, and all the links are in the show notes. If you've always enjoyed writing and you're now inspired to take that a step further and share your story in a book, then I can help you. Have a look at my website, www.theprooffairy.com, and book a free exploratory call with me. You'll also find all the episodes of this podcast there, and if you're already a published author, you'll find information on how you could be a guest on the show. If you've enjoyed this podcast, then please subscribe, share it, rate it, tell your friends about it, and review it. And I'll be back next week with another inspiring interview with another amazing author. Bye for now.